Madavra Boisai, lessons from the late Parshas Re'eh. The Parsha tells us, probably for a business guy, one of his favorite psukim. It should be his favorite pasuk. I admit, some people don't like this pasuk. Aser ta aser, right? A very famous laning we do on Shalosh Regalim. Aser ta aser. So famously, the Gemara says, aser ta aser, asher b'shvil sher ta asher. Interestingly, the Gemara also says in Shabbos, what's the secret to being wealthy? What's the secret to being wealthy? What is it? So the Gemara says, aser ta aser, asher b'shvil ta asher. What were they zoicha? So, number one, it says that we know that we could test the Ribbono Shelem Kiviyachol when it comes to this mitzvah, the mitzvah of staka. There's a difference between the mitzvah of staka and the mitzvah of ma'aser. There's a mitzvah of ma'aser in our parasha that we have to give 10% of our earnings to staka. So, the Gemara says that's what the person is zoicha to. How do you be zoicha to ashiros, right? Aser shatzir asher b'shir tashir. The Gemara tells us that there's a direct correlation between being wealthy and giving money to staka. Because a person has to realize that ultimately, as we discussed, I hope you understood from yesterday, that ultimately, we have everything that we have because of the bracha from the Ribbono Shalom. It's not for us, as we said last week, sometimes we fall into this rut, and the reason why on a magnified level, we have sukkahs, for example. Sukkahs is a time that we sit in a sukkah and we say, wow, this is where I could be living. This is what I could have. Baruch Hashem, I don't have this, right? And Baruch Hashem, even people who are quote-unquote not doing that well, say, wow, at least we have a house, and we're supposed to teach our children that. And if you go more macro, this year is going to be the Shemitah year. Shemitah is an amazing reminder. If you're part of the Chumr of the Week Club, it's a WhatsApp group you can join. So I think one of the Chumrs of the Week Club should be that Shemitah should apply, not just farmers. We're not farmers. Who's farmers anymore in Nebuch? You know, they had the Vada Shemitah. It's actually on 17. Anybody that drove on 17, there's a sign to join the Vada Shemitas, right? We feel so comfortable in America that we could put, our own signs. Moshe's Bakery, you know, get off of here. Yeah? So they had about Vada Shemitas that you could support a difficult situation for a farmer. Even these farmers who are not religious, they try to convince them to keep Shemitah in accordance with Halacha. Imagine if Shemitah was for all businesses, right? And we all went to Kola once. That's what the concept seems to be. Yes, it's true that when it came to the farmer specifically, there was an inyun. Because, you know, you got two farms. Like, imagine, you know, I imagine all farms like Guilford, New York, you know, right? When you go down here, I was a little surprised because the first week of camp, I went to Norwich. I never went. There's a Walgreens in Norwich. I never knew that. And the community is very, there's actually a small community there where there are houses like on top of each other. You know, like Ramat Beit Shemesh, L'Havdil Alfei Hevdalot. And I'm like, well, I thought people want to live here because of the big land that they have. Why would you want to live in Norwich on top of another person? I don't get it. But when you have these big pieces of land, right, and you have the exact same farm as your, you grow the exact same thing. Why do you have so many beautiful apples and his apples? So what do you say? What do you mean, why? Because I have a trick with the fertilizer. Ah, I have an eitzah, the way, right? So a person doesn't say that. Every 7 years, he picks his hands up and he says, I'm not in charge. So maybe in the business world, this would be an amazing thing. It's interesting, L'Havdil, it's such a crazy thing. In Chinuch, in the Chinuch system in Eretz Yisrael, even in the Dati Lumi world, but it's certainly in the secular public schools, so teachers get every 7 years a Shanat Shabbaton. They get a year off. So it's funny that in Chinuch it should dafka not be that way. And in the business world, it's hard for us. This is what the Parsha is speaking about. Parsha is speaking about this idea. So it comes along the Zeresh Shimshon. The Zeresh Shimshon, I wanted to at least spend one of our lessons on the Lev to tell you who the Zeresh Shimshon was. Zeresh Shimshon is a very, very interesting sefer. Rav Nachmani wrote a sefer that I don't think until 20 years ago wasn't so popular. Now it's become popular because they started translating English. Rav Nachum Zeltzer has a piece, and there's a whole institute because the Zeresh Shimshon writes, I believe he had one child who died young, Rahman al-Islam. And he writes, I have no children. This is my child. The Zera Shimshon on the parasha. He says, anybody that learns these parashios, there are great schoolers that will happen to you. Rav Bitterman talks about this all the time. People who didn't have children and they started learning the Chavrusa, the Zera Shimshon. So Zera Shimshon is a Mesugal Sefer. Besides being a Mesugal Sefer, it's an amazing Sefer. It's one of those funny situations. My neighbor got very into the Zera Shimshon where he sponsored the new edition of it. So he comes to my house. He says, listen, I'm only giving Zera Shimshon to people who I know will learn it. I'm not just giving out Svara. So I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, when he assumed because, you know, like I'm a... So I said, I feel bad. So I, every so often, you know, I committed myself at least every Sefer, I have to do it at least once. So here's the Zera Simchon says something amazing. He says, on the Yesod of Yesodos of Aser Taser was the relationship of Yisachar and Zevulun. It's one of the most beautiful relationships that exists actually until today, where two of the 12 tribes made this amazing partnership, right? Yismach Zevulun b'seisach. Zevulun's going to go out and he's going to work. And he's going to have, we have to understand, what's the simcha over here? And Yisachar bo yalecha. And Yisachar sitting and learning. There's a partnership. I'm going to go out, I'm going to make money for you, but you learn from me. There's literally, till today, there's contracts that you sign. You adopt a kolol person. He's your guy. So he asks, it's very unique, the relationship. But besides being unique, it's what Zvulun's job was that makes it even more unique. What was Zvulun's job? Zvulun went out on the ships, right? The ships were very, very difficult to travel. Besides there being literally pirates that would take you over, could take over the ship, it wasn't safe, right? It wasn't, Baruch Hashem, we don't even think about airplane travel now. We should. I'm very makbid. Many of my friends who travel as often as I travel, you go every 6 weeks, so they stop saying Birchas HaGoyim, right? So this, and there are many poskim. I think Rav Osher Weiss even says he doesn't say Birchas HaGoyim because you travel so much. There are a lot of poskim who don't say. Rav Moshe says, I don't understand. Rav Moshe says you should say Birchas HaGoyim. Why? It's scary. You should realize that it's scary. Just because the Rabbanu Shalom provides nisim v'naflois for you, right? It doesn't make anybody ever go on top of the air and say, this makes absolutely no sense. Especially, you know, if the pilot gets on, he'll go, hey, my name's Captain. You're like, oh no, right? Well, you never know. Baruch Hashem, we're so lucky, we're so fortunate, but we don't think about the godless of being able to fly in a plane. It's crazy. So he quotes the Midrash Tanchuma. The Midrash Tanchuma speaks about the amazement of this Yisachar and Zvulun partnership. What was so amazing about it, as I said, is that Zvulun went out to work, but it wasn't stama work. It wasn't stama work. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, I think on Daf Nun, that the beauty of this is that he went overseas. And it was scary the whole time. And he needed Nisim v'Naflois. This guy said Tefillah Sederach all the time. He's saying Tehillim. Because the ship's going up and down. And then he sees a pirate ship. Please, don't let it be me who gets kidnapped. And he's using, quote unquote, all of his mazel, the Gemara says. He's using all his Sata D'Shmaya. And that's not a good thing, because I want the Zechuyos for something else. But says the Midrash, however, the Zera Simshon elaborates on this, when he knew in the back of his mind that he had Zvulun, his brother, literally his brother, and he's supporting him, the Zechuyos were gone. There wasn't mazel there. It was obvious. When a person knows that he says, hey, I'm making my money, be'emes way, in a yashas way, as we spoke about yesterday, I'm making it in a right way. I'm doing the right things. I'm not going to work and being mayached with the opposite sex. I'm doing it the right way. And they said, but it's not my money. If you could approach something, we have this fun in my home. So I have a very, except during COVID, we were machmir on this, but not during COVID. So Baruch Hashem, I was created, I'm assuming it comes from my family as well. I'm a very sensitive person. So when somebody comes to the door, a Jew comes to the door, especially someone who lives in my community, and they tell me that they have no money, it's hard. It's heart-wrenching. So oftentimes, I don't just want to give them money. I said, can I give you something to eat? You want to come sit down? And my kids are like, oh my God, what's up? You know? My wife's like, oh, how do you know it's not a terrorist? I'm like, if this guy was a terrorist, I could even take him down. You know, like, hey, we're fine. But that's the way we treat poor people. We say, and then when you give them money, I always teach my children, I said, you know, you answer them when they say to you, thank you so much, bracha v'yatzal, they give you all the brachas. You go, no. It's the opposite, my friend. Thank you for coming to my door. I don't have to now go find a tzedakah. I don't have to now go out and... You literally came to my door. It's raining outside. And you came to me? You let me do the mitzvah? I have to give this money. It's not my money. Howard Jonas was once... Howard Jonas was head of IDT, Baruch Hashem, a multi... multi, hundreds of millions of dollars. And Howard Jonas was interviewed, I think, by Fortune magazine. And they said to him, it's amazing to meet somebody like you who gives literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars to Tzedakah. How do you do it? He says, why is Fortune magazine writing about me? You know what's much more difficult? A guy that makes $100,000 and he gives 10% of his money. He goes, listen, I have a dispensation that my rabbi said I'm allowed to give 20%. I can give a little bit more. He says, but percentage-wise, I'm giving the same as the guy that makes. He struggles. I don't struggle. Well, he doesn't say this, but you know, he has $500 million he made this year. Ooh, big deal. So he has to, what's the struggle? Who cares? So it's almost the opposite. Zvulun had the hardest of jobs, but he knew in back of his mind that he had the support of the Torah. That was an amazing thing. That was an amazing thing. Rabbi Fran takes this a step further, if I remember this correctly. But Rabbi Fran spoke about why Dafka Zvulun had this job. He said, because there's a tremendous amount of muna that you have to have when you're in the business of ships. As I said, going up and down. You don't. That's the guy that we want working. That's the concept of Yisachar. Yisachar wants to have that relationship with the other person. But I think it goes much more than that. Because sometimes the mistake is made where people think there's this relationship that's split. We spoke yesterday at Rav Huttner's beautiful letter that you don't live a double life, you live a broad life. Sometimes we misunderstand the relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun to be a relationship of there's a learner and there's an earner. Right? Rav Yitzhak Cohen comes every year to our yeshiva. And I remember he was talking about this once, and as only Rav Yitzhak Cohen can. Are you a learner or you're an earner? And what was his point? He says, why are they mutually exclusive? Why can't you be both? I've heard Rav Shachar say this dozens of times. He says, many of the Talmidei Chachamim that I know have wonderful jobs and are multimillionaires. Some of them could learn even better than some of our Rosh Yeshiva and YU. It's not a nice statement, but he said it. Why do they have to be mutually exclusive? I'm not saying that you shouldn't give tzedakah, but to have the time to sit and learn, I don't understand. And here's the interesting part. The whole machlokes, I actually have a shir on this topic, of giving meiser is a very interesting machlokes. Is it darais, is it rabbanon? Do you only have to give it to support poor people? So it's all based on, well, wait a minute, what's our psukim talking about? Aser Taser actually does not talk about giving tzedakah. It's talking about Meiser Sheni. And the Ramban picks up on this. And the Ramban says, so what was going on over here? He says it was an amazing thing. He said they went up to the Beis HaMikdash and you brought your Meiser. Nowadays, unfortunately, we have the schus of living in Eretz Yisrael, but I have fruit trees. So it's sad that I have to, it's I'm joyful that I'm able to take Trumas and Meisers on it. And I make a big deal out of it every year, my kids, and explain to them what's going on here. But it's sad when I have to take those fruits and throw them in the garbage. Or be poided to a coin. Because it's not the way it really should be. So it comes along the Ramban says, why does it say, Ve'achaltopo oto b'makom, if we go on with the psukim. And then it says, that by eating the Laman Yilmad Liras Hashem. What does that mean? So listen to this. Ki ha-kohanim ve-ha-shoiftim ha-oimdim sham lifnei Hashem bo-yireh Torah yilamdu yireh. He's going to see. He's going to bring his kids with him. He's going to go to Yerushalayim and bring him Meiser. Look. And you see the kohanim. You're like, wow. That's what I want to be. These are holy. I can't explain it. If you've ever met a gadol before. I remember I had the great schus. Thank God. Rabbi Savlosky, I'm being honest, dragged me. Rav Steinman came to America a number of years ago. I'm still living in America. He came to America. It was on this trip. It was amazing. Came to the Ger Rebbe with Rav Asher Weiss. So the closest, shockingly, I don't know why, he didn't come to Teaneck. I don't know why. But the closest location he was at was Washington Heights. Not YU. He came to Breuer's. So I said, let's keep going. Rabbi Hertzin, how are you? I'm sure you're going to see Rav Steinman. Can I have a ride? I'm like, of course I'm going. Rav, who? No. Where? So I went with him. So we were standing next to each other. And I remember Rav Steinman got up there, and Rav Steinman starts to speak in Yiddish. And it happens to be Breuer's, they don't know Yiddish. So they're like, wait. Right when he started, like, wait a second, can we translate? So it turned out he spoke for like 3 minutes. So it was like, he couldn't even translate, whatever. And we waited an hour for him to come. So you would expect, anybody knows Hartstein well, like, I get upset here when, you know, you don't start my Rav on time. You know, I'm like, come on, who else, you know? When he passed us, All these past us, we couldn't shake his hand, we couldn't touch him, we couldn't get a bracha. I couldn't explain it to you. Rabbi Soloski looked, we looked at each other and we were like, wow, that was amazing. That was amazing. That's the Ramban. You have this feeling, wow, it was worth an hour not being able to find part. Wow. That's the Moira that the Ramban speaks about. That's the Yira. Because when I'm doing the right thing, I feel good about myself. Because this is what I should be doing. So I think it's a little bit of the opposite. A person that works has to know, and I'm saying this as someone who works, right? You have to recognize I'm in a b'di'evid type of situation. Because I really want to be like the great Gedolim. I'm going to support them because I'm going to show that's really who I am. I think Zebulun was turning to Yisachar and he was saying, I want to be you. I can't for a reason. It's not for everyone. Rav Mordechai Gifter has a great story about a guy, one of the great philanthropists of the yeshiva, of Tel's yeshiva. He would sit and learn with him 1 hour a week. He comes to him and says, you know what? I'm going to retire. I love learning with you every week. I'm going to retire and I'm going to join your yeshiva. Rav Gifter's like, uh-huh. You're here for an hour. I could maybe learn with you for 12 minutes. You have no, it was back when there's no ADD. You have ADD, yeah. You're going to sit and learn a Seder? Are you crazy? It wasn't for him. But the geschmack he got out of that hour. That's the way we have to feel, Rabbi Yisrael. You want the real Ashiras? The real Ashiras comes when you recognize that 10%, and according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, you also have to dedicate 10% of your life to chesed, to doing the right thing as well. So it's additional. So I think that's the ultimate lesson of recognizing that. And don't get me wrong, as we spoke about yesterday, a person who lives a yasher life, nasat of nasat be'emunah, that first question the Rabbi Yisrael is going to ask you, it's amazing. But it's not the ideal. I often think about how, I'm sorry to say this, but on one hand, you have a little bit of a schus that you, when you live in America, you have this Yom Tov Sheni Shagolius every Sunday, right? Shabbos Sheni Shagolius, right? You have this extra day. What do you do with your Sunday? In Israel, we don't have Sundays. What do you do with Sunday? Right? We have a friend that's actually here in camp. They put pictures. Sunday is fun day, right? Very nice. Spend the day with their wife. Where's the Torah? Sunday, you're off the entire Sunday. What do you do? So you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, the Olympics are on. I want to see the new Olympic sport. You know, this person's having a catch with another person. I hope he wins the gold medal. Like the most crazy sport. I don't know how they invented this, right? Is that what you're going to do with your Sunday? You're going to say, now I'm off from work. It's Sunday. I have to learn now. This is my commitment. I don't understand. I need to have a little bit of, and it shouldn't be 10% only, of my life. But I need to have a little bit of Yisachar in my life. I'm not just Zvulun. I'm not just the guy who goes, well, I support, oh. Yeah, it's nice because of the covered. You walk in and then there's, whoa, look who's here. Psh, the guy that supported the whole Kolel, he's here. We'll put him up in the front, give him Shlishi. It's not the way it should be. It should be like the Ramban says. By Aser Taser, he goes up and he says, wow. My father always tells me the first time he met the we're from Biyan. It's very hard for you to believe that, but yes, we're Biyan HaChasidim. You're Biyan HaChasid, Harv's team. So it's true. So he said the first time my grandfather was sitting Shiva, and the Biyan Rebbe walked in. The Biyan Rebbe, they're known for Malchus David. That's where we come from, Malchus David. So he walked in and he has a bekasha that has, I'm not exaggerating now, gold buttons that were threaded with real gold. And my father says, remembers looking at him, and I don't know how old my father was, probably like 7 or 8 years old, and he's like, wow, that's a Rebbe. That's a, what? Because you can't explain it. People met the Lubavitcher Rebbe. I can't explain it to you. There just was this wow. Because they're close to their bonus show, because they're doing the right thing. That's what the idea is. So Mitzvah Hashem, we should be Zeuche, after spending an amazing summer of Emir Hashem being Koina, Olamo, Bekayetz Achan, we should be Zeuche to, be from that Kobe's and not from the other Kobe, if you know what I mean, Maven Yavin. And be zeichet to only amazing things, Emir Hashem. Amen. Yeah.